Content warning. This episode contains conversations regarding miscarriages, stillborns, and IVF process.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is your girl Adar, and you're listening to the Digital Sisterhood podcast. What an episode! I know hella lot of y'all are mad because we turned to a two-parter without letting y'all know. But let me tell you, okay? It had to be. We couldn't rush the story. The story was too good. So last week's episode was kind of a mind-blown one. We learned that Lima, in her first marriage, went through some stuff, okay? She went through some stuff. Like, she was robbed blindly, as she likes to say. She married a man that lied about what he was doing, who didn't support her, right? That she caught doing things that he shouldn't, who, on top of that, refused to give her divorce. Like, where did they make this guy? Where did they make him, right? And on top of that, like, she left that relationship like, I'm done. We're going back to the original fitra, which is being a cat lady. So Lima was in that headspace like, nah, it's a wrap. I've been through it. I'm just going to travel. But then life threw her a curveball, right? And she met the man of her dreams. I mean, he was handsome, girl. He was funny. He was Islamic in a good way. But she just couldn't quite give in because, girl, the trauma is jumping. You get what I'm saying? That trauma is jumping. Although they were talking every day and they were vibing, she's like, nope, he's just going to be my friend. That is it. I am not giving myself in. But Malik was determined to bring those walls down.
We talked every single day since we met that night in New Orleans. Every single day we talked. If you ask anybody that knows me, I do not like looking at my phone, especially texting or messaging or whatever.
So you were excited by him?
It wasn't that. It started from like a pure, solely, because he had a relationship. I had like people I was talking to, right? So I'm like, you know, like whatever. It's a friend who lives in a city that I want to visit because at this time I'm traveling a lot. So we're just friends for the sole purpose of he wants to visit Toronto. So obviously you need to make friends when you travel of people wherever they live. And I'm like, oh, I want to go where he's at. Then he starts messaging me. He's like, hey, you know, I'm coming down for OVO Fest. I said, oh, that's fine. You know, whatever. I said, okay, cool, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Right? He said, I'm going to buy your ticket. I said, okay, cool, whatever, you know? We go to the concert, whatever. I go home. The next day, you know, I show him around the city, whatever. He looks at me and he says, I'm going to marry you one day.
You're lying.
Wallahi. So I'm going to marry you one day and you're going to have my children. I said, first of all, sir.
What?
Yeah.
You guys had a straight platonic relationship.
Just friendship. Like, we were really close. Like, we would tell each other about, like, the people that we're talking to. Like, he is hilarious. Like, that was, like, he was my best friend.
Aw.
Literally my best friend.
But you never thought that it was a romantic relationship.
No, I didn't think I was going to marry the man.
Why?
I said hell no to marriage.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Look what I went through.
I know. You went through hell and back.
Look what I went through.
But I have a question, because just for a visual experience, what did he look like? Was he tall?
First of all, he's going to get so mad when he hears this. So he's light-skinned, tall, with a beard.
Ooh.
I wasn't into light-skinned guys. African-American on top of that? Hell to the no. I've been down this road. I seen it. My life flashed before my eyes. But he was smooth because he has that Midwest twang that and he was so smart.
And I know that's the one that captured your heart.
And when I tell you, this man solely looked in my eyes, right?
Yeah.
No, I was wearing a short dress, right?
Yeah.
Guys, you know, I went to Amra, you know.
Like, I changed my life now.
My life has changed, you know. So
but back then you were you know,
I was, you know,
hotty totty chilling.
Thank God pulled his rope back. Was like, hey ma'am, get it together. I'm guiding you this whole way, but get it together.
Yeah.
So I'm not not thinking out. Like, he knew I don't want to get married. I don't want to have any kids. He knows that. I said that from the very beginning. Anyways, tells me he wants to. So he comes back again for Nuit Blanche. Literally, right? August is
right here. And Nuit Blanche is always in October.
September, October, right?
Yeah.
He said, I really love you. I said, sir, you only knew me for a year and some change, you know? What I realized, though, when I sat back, I was like, I divorced that man. I started traveling. I would have never met this guy had I not gone through what I went through. Right? Mm-hmm. But this time I was armed. I knew everything I didn't want. Mm-hmm. You know? You I knew the things that were important to me.
You had your walls up.
I had my walls all the way up. Right? It was up and it was stuck. So this guy waited for me. He waited for me. He waited 5 years.
What?
5 years.
He waited 5 years.
I'm going to say 4 years for sure. I know 4 years for sure. Yeah.
He waited 4 years for what? You to...
To take him serious.
4 years?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to prove it to you?
Like, he was like, don't worry. Like...
Take your time.
I'm going to get you.
The beautiful part about Malik was... He didn't do much talking. He did all action. He was up for the challenge, but he proved to her what he was about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed for things to happen in their relationship that allowed Lima to see Malik's character. It was almost as if, like, Allah knew, okay, Lima's going to need some convincing, right? She's going to need some convincing, and she needs to see him for what he is.
And I literally was pushing him away. I was saying, like, you know, you should look for a wife, you know, someone who hasn't been married before, you know, because he has never been married. So I was like, oh, you should look for that. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like I was just pushing him away. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, no, like, you know, I really cared about him as a human. And I was like, I don't care about people. What's going on here?
I'm a cat lady. When did things change?
Yeah, I'm like, he had a cat.
Is that what it changed?
He did. Oh, my God. He had a cat.
Paired with your cat.
When I tell you, like, me and him, like, our personality, our humor, our, you know, we just made sense. Mm-hmm. So I asked Allah, I'm like, Allah, please. Like, I was making istikhara. I didn't know how to pray istikhara, but I knew the words to say, right? Mm-hmm. I said, Allah, you know, if this person is right for me, like, let them, like, remain in my life. If they're not, please remove them from my life. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, what happened to me was every possible, like, thing that would scare somebody away happened to me in the span of, like, 2 years. So I got diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. And I told him. And, like, that was my thing to further push him away. I was like, listen, this is what I was diagnosed with. There's nothing I can do about it. Because it's kind of, like, the worst anxiety to have. Because mine is physical. So I would end up in the hospital every time I would have anxiety. Because I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Just my whole body would shake. And I would make my sister take me to the hospital every single time. Because I needed to get IV. Because, like, my potassium levels would go so low. I had a panic attack, right? Mm-hmm. While he was here in Toronto. Yeah. Mind you, this is the first time we're hanging out, okay? I don't know what caused it. Like, yeah. That's the thing. Like, I didn't recognize it, mm-hmm. right? So he takes me to the hospital.
Wait.
I went to the hospital twice. My sister went with me one of the times, and then he took me the second time. Okay? So this girl that he said that he wanted to marry, wants to have his kids, is sitting there with an IV drip while he's sitting next to me reading his comics.
And the crazy part that kills me is that he came to visit. You know, he's trying to have a fun time, but here he is at a hospital reading his comic book, looking at you while you're hyperventilating.
What I'm telling, so anyway,
like, it's nothing for him. Like, it's fine.
Like, he's like, listen, like, everybody, this is what he said. He said, if you walk into a room, right?
Yeah.
At least 50 of those people have mental illness that they're taking medication for.
SubhanAllah.
this doesn't change you in any way. You're still an amazing person. This is not a weakness, you know?
Wow.
I look at him, I said, So I'm like, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
You know? This guy has seen me, like, be goofy. He's seen me fall down some stairs, like,
no,
when
he
came
not.
To visit. Wallahi.
How far was the fall?
You know, okay, so you know St. Phillips?
Yeah.
You know when you walk up those stairs? It's, like, at the top of the ice rink? I was trying to give him a view of, like, the Toronto sign, right? Mm-hmm. When I was coming down those stairs, why not? I fell. My sandal. I was.
You went do-do-do-do-do-do?
Yeah.
Like.
I'm very clumsy.
And he saw you
fall. He laughed. I said, whatever. Like, I was so comfortable by being me around him because he gave me that comfortability, right? This person loves me so much, and I don't know why. You know, he's praying for me. You know, he's asking Allah for me to get closer to him.
Aww.
Like, what person, like, is so selfless that they pray for somebody else?
Yeah, subhanAllah.
You know what I mean? I just was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm like, pray for yourself, brother. Like, leave me alone. Like, let me. I got my mama praying for me. I got my sister praying for me.
I don't need your prayer. No, it's the highest form of love when somebody has you in their private du'as.
That's the part that I realized. I was like, this man loves me so much that, you know, when you're praying, I'm asking for Jannah, like, you know?
And he's...
I'm asking for Jannah al-Firdaus, like, you know? I'm like, I'm trying to get there myself.
And he's asking for you.
And he's asking for Allah to
guide
me.
You know what? It reminds me of when Adam alayhi salam asked for Hawa. Oh, girl, I'm gonna
get
emotional.
Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me.
No, sorry. I'm just continue.
Don't do this.
No, it's
I'm a
beautiful.
Thug.
It's beautiful, but continue.
And then that's the part that's this is a year before Umra. I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome because I realized I wasn't getting my period. So my period was always irregular, and I was just like, okay, you know, it's irregular, things like that. I got diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome. And so basically what polycystic ovarian syndrome is, it's like an endocrine, it's a hormonal disease, but it affects, like, there's four types. There's people that are, so the one that I have is the people who are insulin resistant. It affects my kidneys, it affects my heart. So people end up having, like, you know, issues with diabetes, issues with their kidneys, issues with their heart, things like that. So, and it also affects your fertility. So from then I knew, I was like, okay. I was thinking about my husband, and I was like, so I was talking to God. I said, Allah, if you give me a son that was just like him, and how he's so amazing to his mom's not Muslim, but he is the best son to his mother. Like, I don't even see, like, other people be that amazing and be that kind with their mother. Like, even when she's, like, yelling at him, he doesn't say anything. He just looks on the ground and just doesn't say anything. Like, and he, oh my God. He always think, like, the reason why I met him was because he was taking his mom on a trip for her birthday, and he does that every year. Mm-hmm. And that's why I met him. So I met him being like a pious son, pretty much.
Oh, mashallah.
So if that didn't give things away, I was sorry.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I had to tell him, hey, you know, I have a mental illness. That's not going to scare you away, is it? But I also have...
The divorce, the trust issues, the
mental illness, the PCOS. And it's like everything that he needed to be tested with was coming at him full force. Like, I just felt like Allah was, like, showing me all of these difficult things so that, A, I would get closer to Allah, and B, that I would see, okay, this man is meant for you. You asked me, what was the purpose? You asked me, you made istikhara. This is the person for you.
SubhanAllah.
You know? So he went through all of that. And then on top of that, a year before Umrah, my tear ducts, I had an issue with my tear ducts. Mm-hmm. And basically I had to have surgery because they basically closed up. Mm-hmm. So I had to have surgery in order to open them back up, basically. And when I tell you I couldn't see, I couldn't see. Like, I already can't see out of my left eye. So, and this happened to my right eye. And I was just, I was beyond devastated. I was just like, I'm coming to this man broken.
SubhanAllah.
In more ways than I'm emotionally broken, physically broken down, mentally broken down. Like, you know, why would he ever want to be with me? Still, he was patient.
Lima had this really incredible relationship with her sister. Her sister was her backbone, her everything. And when she was going through some of her most difficult moments, her sister was always there. And interesting enough, a correlation that she's come to realize is that her sister, you know, and Malik were actually quite very similar. They showed up when they said they were going to show up. They supported her, and they were just unwavering about where they stood with her. And that became kind of a moment, a light bulb in her head. She was like, oh my God, he is what my sister is to me. And that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me my sister in a male version.
When I say she is everything, like when I went to Umrah, I prayed for her more than I prayed for myself. I asked Jannah for her more than myself, because the way that she was there for me when I was going through my mental illness, when I was going through being diagnosed with PCOS, and when she would see people, because I gained weight because that's part of the disease, and most of the weight was in my stomach, and people would ask, are you pregnant? And I'm just like, she was there for me. She was my seeing eye person. Like, she struggled with me. She was in hospitals for all night sitting on an uncomfortable chair. So it was a very difficult time in my life. I couldn't see. I got my surgery. I was able to see afterwards. It was very difficult surgery. Surgery on your face is never, I never say get surgery on your face. This is the most painful experience ever. And then the next year, my mom gifts me Umrah. She's like, you know, I gave all my children Umrah, you know, this is your gift. And I wanted to refuse that gift. Can you believe that? Because I was like, okay, you know, that perfection came back up again. So I go to Umrah. He pushes me. He's like, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. There's people in this world who are saving every single penny. There's people that travel. There's people that, you know, that do all of these things just so that they could go to Umrah, or just so that they could be the guest of Allah, right? So I go there. I go with my sister. I said, Alhamdulillah, that's my safety. My safety blanket is right there. Medina, I fell in love with. Medina is something that everybody on this earth has to experience. I did not want to leave. I wanted to cut up my passport and be like, that's it, y'all can leave. I'm good. That's how much I loved Medina. I knew this is somewhere I needed to be for the rest of my life.
I have to tell you, people who've been to Medina have tried that before.
But I was trying to say, I said, I don't care if I live on the street. I would live on the street, no problem. Let me just be in Medina for the rest of my life, you know. So, and then I'll say this about my Umrah trip changed my whole life. And when I was doing Safa Marwa, oh my God, my feet were getting cut up. I was like, I can't believe Prophet Ibrahim's wife was walking back and forth from mountain to mountain. Like, I couldn't feel my feet. My sister was carrying me through. I told her, I was telling her, no, I can't do this. Like, this is too much. Like, I'll never complain about anything being too difficult, because this is difficult. Like, this is humbling. Like, this is way too humbling. She carried me. She was telling me everything I needed to say, like all the things that I needed to recite. Like without her, like, whew. Like I just pray to, like I just pray to Allah. Like I'm so happy to be blessed with such an amazing little sister. After I come back from Umrah, I get married. Finally realize, like, so him praying for me, him doing all of these things for me, I really realized that, okay, this is a person I'm meant to spend the rest of my life with. Because I've just never experienced this type of love. It's just the things that I don't think about that he does. Like, I don't think about certain things. Like, you know, if I tell him one thing, this guy will just turn around and then be like, oh, yeah, you know, you remember you said this here. This is, you know, whatever I was thinking about. And I'm like, why is this, like, what's wrong with you, sir? Like, why are you so good, you know? And then I realized, I remember I was up, you know, I was thinking and I was telling him, I said, honestly, had I not gone through the experience that I went through, all of the experience, like my marriage, my failed marriage, my health issues that I cannot believe he stuck by me through, and he wasn't even married to me. But he still was there saying, like, you know, I'm making dua for you, I'm praying for you, I'm doing these things for you. I was just floored by it.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
When he said, I'm going to marry you after, like, after you're going to go to Umrah and I'm going to marry you after, did you say yes? Okay.
Yeah, I said yes.
You said no questions asked. You said
no
yes.
Questions asked. There was no questions in my body. Or my soul to ask him, because this man has been there while I've been blind. Mental illness, polycystic ovarian syndrome. There's a chance that I might not be able to give this man some beautiful babies, you know?
And he still wants you.
He was like, it's okay. Like, you know, when I told him, like, hey, I finally was like, I swear, he planted something where I was just like, you know, if I have a son that's just like him.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my son would be such an amazing human being. He would love me so much. You know, he's such a good person. Yeah. I would not, like,
so it's you the didn't fact hesitate. That. You didn't hesitate.
No, it's the fact that I already could see the qualities of how great of a father he would be. Just based off of how amazing he is as a person. That would never be mad if my son had the same personality as him or grew up to be just like him.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that he is with his mother, how patient he is with his father, how patient he is. Even when people who have done him wrong, he has forgiven them. And I, and in situations where I could not possibly forgive a person, I literally was like, I don't know what is wrong with you. I don't know how you are so forgiving. He's very forgiving. And that's something I'm working on.
SubhanAllah.
Because that's something I'm working on in therapy right now, is to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just easy to just cut people off instead of forgiving them. Because forgiveness takes work, right?
Yeah, it's easy to torch on people and just move on and cut them. You know, the cut game is strong.
Yeah.
But forgiving people is better. Did you have a wedding, ma'am? Did you have a wedding?
No. Okay, so COVID kind of destroyed our wedding. We're supposed to have a wedding overseas.
Oh my gosh, so you just got married.
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Oh, 2020, when the whole thing started?
Yeah. Got her other plans.
What?
Cause I don't like being the center of attention. I don't want to have a wedding. I feel like, you know, if you do a nikah, it's more than enough. But it's the fact that I was willing to give him that. Yeah. I was willing to put on a white dress.
You do things for love, and that's interesting. Cause like in your last wedding, you didn't want to do anything. And you were like, okay, I just want to do this for marriage and just like do it on the right foot. But here you are, you know, doing the highest.
Him whatever he wanted.
Whatever he wanted.
Whatever that man asked, I was like, yeah, sure, let's do this.
It kind of reminds me of when people experience a second love, right? Mm-hmm. This is a popular person that people will probably understand what I mean. For example, do you know the co-host Jeannie Mai?
Oh, Jeannie Mai, my story is like basically the same.
Same, right? And she talked about it in her first marriage. She didn't want children. Mm-mm. And so now she's pregnant. And she talks about how her second love, like her second marriage, inspired her to have the things that she thought she didn't.
That's why, because she said never say never.
Yeah, because the way that she described it was that love inspired her to want more. Oh. And she said that was an indicator of good love. And I was like, that's deep. I was like,
So how many of us are like, you know, and like right now there are women who are divorced right now,
yeah,
or getting divorced at this very moment, and they're thinking, that's it, you know, like, this is it for me. It didn't work out. I probably am not good at love. You know,
honestly,
what I'm saying?
That's why I tell a lot of people that I talk to that have been divorced, mm-hmm, they always say, I'm in the it couldn't work or it didn't work club. Mm-hmm. Or it failed club. And I always tell them about my story where I say, like, you know, it's not the end. Even if something that you don't want, even if you don't want a relationship or those things, like, never say never, because the amount of love that I've experienced, I don't even think I knew love before I met before him.
SubhanAllah.
You know? And the fact that I'm sitting here talking about him, I would never do this. So I say, never say never.
Never
say I'm out here, you know, talking about him, putting him like on a pedestal. And, you know, it's because of him that I recognize what, not only what love is, but what healthy love is. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the person I was before, my temperament, you know, how I handle things, you know, I had zero patience, but I learned sabr through him. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest things that I learned sabr through Umrah, to be honest, because you need to pack like three, four suitcases of sabr. I'm not joking.
No, Umrah's not a joke. And people think it's going to be easy, and it's not. You get, you go through it in Umrah, mm-hmm, and Hajj. It's a test, actually.
Ooh, there's so many times I was like, because like to me, I'm quick tempered.
Yeah.
But the way I, like, people would butt me in line, and I'm like, you know what? They probably need it more than me. That's why they went in front of me. You know, but I asked Allah, I said, Allah, please make this easy for me. So when people were saying like, oh, this is a different weather, like usually it's not like this, I enjoyed the weather, you know, and I was wearing hijab the whole time I was there. I was wearing shukka the whole time I was there. I asked Allah to make it very easy for me. And I started to realize everything was because, except for Safa Marwa, because my sister had to carry me. I really need to say that again. Like, yeah, when she came back, her feet were purple. Like, her feet were swollen. She gave me her extra socks. Because my sister went to Umrah before, my little sister. Mm-hmm. So she knew what was ahead of me. Like, the things that we go through in this Western world is so minuscule. You know? Compared to Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, when his wife was walking back and forth.
Yeah, doing stuff in Marwa.
Trying to feed, you know, trying to, she just wanted to feed her child.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
And so, she was freaking out because her baby was crying and
after,
crying.
Yeah. After one lap, I was done. I said, wallahi, this is awesome. Next level type pain.
But you know, like, the fear of a mom gives that kind of energy.
Yes.
Like, when you have a child, sure, and your child's screaming, you get this type of strength that you don't know where you found. And mm-hmm, and all you can think about is, how do I provide relief for my child? And so, although it was hard for us, but for her, the cost was bigger. So, like,
yeah,
she couldn't feel, like, you know, like, the exhaustion. She just felt fear. Like, how do I help my child? How do I help my child? SubhanAllah. The love of a mother, wallahi. Yes. It's, you know, what moms do is new moms, like, a shout out to you guys, and old moms.
You guys are heroes.
You're actual heroes. So tell me about your journey in trying to be a mom.
Whew. This is where all the tears was backed up for. Tears in my eyes. So we wanted children. We knew, like, okay, maybe not in the first year, but, you know, you can't plan those things, right? You try to plan, but Allah is the best planner. So we were like, okay, well, I'm going to freeze my eggs. Went through the process. Needles in my stomach, doing IVF. Because I knew, like, we talked to my OBGYN or OB, whatever. And we had a fertility doctor. And they said that, you know, it's not, and it's basically almost impossible for you to conceive naturally without basically the help of doing in vitro, right? So I froze my eggs and I was like, you know what? Because some of them don't survive the thawing process. So one thing that, I don't know if people say it, but every stage of IVF, when it goes from freezing your eggs and then fertilizing your eggs and then making embryo, well, fertilizing is making embryos, but making embryos, they don't tell you that all the eggs don't survive through all these processes. So there's eggs that don't survive the thawing process because they freeze them, right? There's eggs that don't survive. Like, there's something that might, like chromosomes or certain things that might be wrong with your embryos. And you also know the gender of your embryos. So there's some of them where they know if they put that embryo inside of you, it doesn't have a high chance of surviving. So, you know, we're going through our IVF journey, and then I find out I'm pregnant. Yeah, I find out I was pregnant. And I'm like, wait, what? And I never got my period on time. Like, I have PCOS, so I wasn't getting my period. I went like a whole year without getting my period.
So how did you find out?
Just a random, like, just what I went to the OB, just doing a random, like, I was going to go through the process of making embryos. And then I found out I was pregnant.
Because she checked your blood.
Yeah, they're like, and they do an ultrasound, too. So they're like, wait, what? There's a whole human being in here.
Girl, you pregnant already.
Yeah, so I was, I believe I was, like, 3 months at the time. So we're here, we're excited, like, you know, I'm like, what? I'm pregnant? Like, I was like, alhamdulillah, like, you know, I never thought I would be able to conceive naturally. So, you know, and this time I was living in the Midwest. So I was in America at this time with my husband. So I'm just saying, like, okay, like, how did I not know I was pregnant? Like, the whole time I was like, but they're like, you know, blah, 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 whatever doctors say. Yeah. So I'm going to, like, I remember we went to our 18-week appointment. It was 18 weeks or, like, oh my 20 God. Weeks.
Yeah.
We find out the gender.
Oh, my God. What was it?
It was a boy.
A boy?
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar.
So at my 20-week appointment, they're like, yeah, he's healthy. You know, you see his little partner there. So, like, oh, it's a boy. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, yeah, he's healthy. You know, his heart is strong and, you know, everything is great. And I'm just like, wow, alhamdulillah. Like, alhamdulillah. We were, like, and I named him Imran.
Oh, why because Imran?
Because I believe Imran means strength and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to go through everything that I went through, I just remember my strength.
Mm.
And I'm like, I want this to be his name. Also, at that time, I was like, Imran also means pillar. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I love the name. I wanted Ihsan. Mm-hmm. But then I was scared that he wouldn't live up to his name. Yeah. I didn't want to give him a name he couldn't live up to.
Yeah.
And Ihsan means, like,
excellence. Yeah.
Right? So I said, I'm like, Imran, that's a beautiful name. And I would feel him. And it was just like this it was just an experience that I was so new to me.
Lima had naturally conceived her first child, even after all of the IVF and all of the help. She did that on her own. She finally got the boy that she's always wanted, the boy that she's dreamed of every time she looks at her husband and says, wow. Like, I want a son just like you. But then one morning, she woke up and everything started crashing down.
So I end up, like, I remember what week this was or whatever it was. I'm sleeping and then I start feeling like I was bleeding. And I remember throughout that pregnancy, I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Mm.
You know, I was just waiting. I was like, okay, like, there's no way. Like, how could I conceive naturally?
They said it was impossible.
It was impossible.
It's too good to be true.
It was way too good to be true. So I was basically holding my breath.
SubhanAllah.
But then when they told me, oh, he's healthy, his heart is strong, you know, everything looks good. And I was in my second trimester. I was like, whew.
You were hopeful.
I was like, okay,
I'm good.
It's a boy, and, you know, like, we're happy, and, like, you know, this is what it was just a beautiful experience. I would feel him moving, you know, and I was just like, this is just, like, the amount of love I had for a child that I didn't even lay my eyes on was a part that I just couldn't, like, it was just, like, I couldn't fathom it. I was like, this little human being, the way that I love him so much, and I have not even met him yet. So I'm laying in bed. I start bleeding. And I remember them saying, like, spotting here and there is okay. Like, it happens. But something inside of me just didn't feel right, because I wasn't feeling him moving all too much that day before going to bed. I'm like, you know? And they always tell you, like, know the pattern. Like, when your baby's in your belly, they always tell you, know the baby's pattern. So that's something, like, every time he moved, I was like, whew, sigh of relief, you know? So I was bleeding, and I was just like, okay, something. So I my husband's a late sleeper, so I look at him, I'm like, I'm bleeding. He's like, okay, let's go. I said, excuse me, sir? I'm like, it could be nothing, you know? He's like, yeah, but you were sick throughout the day. You couldn't feel him moving. And, you know, something just doesn't feel right. And I was like, yeah, me too. Something just doesn't feel right. Like, I was, like, panicking. I was having a panic attack. I was just like, please, God, like, not my baby. Not the son that I wanted. Like, I was like, I would have given anything in that moment. Anything. I would have given up myself. And I was just like, please, not my baby. Not like the fact that he's a miracle. So I get to the hospital and they do the ultrasound. And I could tell by the lady's face, because I didn't want to look. I could just tell by her face and how, like, I just knew. She's like, sorry, but to inform you, but your baby's heart stopped. Like, we can't find a heartbeat.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
And they were just so matter of fact about it. I was just like, check again. There's no way. They're like, I'm like, check again. There's no way. I'm like, he was just healthy. You guys told me his heart is strong. You guys were telling me everything is good. He's developing the way that he should be. Why? And she was like, this is just something that happens. And they were saying, among Black women, it's the most common for us to have stillbirth. So she was very, like, she was, like, telling me, oh, yeah, you're Black. This is normal in your community. Like,
SubhanAllah. Somehow that's supposed to be acceptable.
Yeah, it's like giving me statistics is supposed to help me. Not for a baby that, you know, I found out his gender. I named him. I envisioned him. I dreamed about him. I felt him. I loved him. So then they told me, they're like, okay, so you have two options. You can wait till your body recognizes that there's no baby in there no more and it goes through the natural process of labor, or we can induce you. I remember looking at my husband just devastated. Devastated. I felt like, this is something that should be easy. There's all these people that have all these babies. You know, there's people who have babies on accident, or, you know, my baby wasn't planned, or whatever the case may be. And I'm thinking, this is something so easy. Why can't I do this for him? Why can't I do this for myself? Because now I know the love.
You've tasted
it. That's what I was going to say. I tasted the love. I said, not my son. So I was like, just induce me. And it was such a cold process. You go through the process of giving birth to a baby that you will never know. To a baby that you will never hold. To a baby that you will never see get older, take their first steps, or say their first words. To a baby that will never hug you. And then they ask you, do you want to hold your dead baby? I said, no. Because I just couldn't. I just knew, like, I cannot look. I can't look. They asked me, "Do you want to do an autopsy to figure out what is exactly wrong with the baby?" I said, "Can you guys leave me alone? Like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to look at anybody. Just leave me alone." And to make matters worse, I started hemorrhaging. So my husband had to sit there and not only lose his son, but also had to sit there with the possibility of almost losing his wife. By the grace of Allah, like, I was able to get through it. And then I remember my husband saying to me, like, "You know, we'll meet him again in Jannah, inshallah." The way that he went through this with me, and he was I know he was staying strong for me. Because it's like, and it sucks because I feel like we don't allow men that space to cry or that space to, you know, break down and, you know, feel the things that they're feeling. So I'm pretty, because I knew he was feeling what he was feeling, because when I would turn around to try to sleep, I would hear him. I'd hear him cry. And it just tore me to pieces. Like, I just was like, I just want to have my baby. That's it. But alhamdulillah, like, he was always telling me, like, we're gonna see him again, inshallah. We're gonna see him again, inshallah. We're gonna see him again. Don't worry. Like, he just always told me we have options. Right? We have options. I just don't want to lose you, is what he was saying. Because I feel like with men, they don't go through the process, right? They don't go through the feelings in their belly. They don't go through that, like, that bonding experience that you have within your body. So for him, his main concern, he was, of course, sad that he lost his son, but his main concern was, I don't want to lose my wife, too, in the process. So he's talked about adoption. We talked about, you know, other ways that, you know, we could have a child. And this is not the end. So after a while, like, after, I would say, like, after a year, I was like, okay, I'm ready to start the IVF process. And then I was like, I felt very alone in the process because I didn't know any of the sisters that were going through IVF. And it's like, I'm a part of this support group, you know, for my PCOS. But I had nobody to talk to, like, when I had to, you know, because the process of the hormones and what they do to your, the just how you feel and, like, you know, like, when you go through, like, the hormone process and, like, you're done that part and then you retrieve the eggs and everything, you feel such a low. And I don't know if this is for everybody experiences this, but I felt very low. I feel like losing my son made me very cold. It really did. And it took me, I'm still grieving and going through it. But I want to know, like, I wanted to say, like, any sister who's going through IVF, any sister who's had a stillborn, like, you're not alone. Like, I feel like us as Black women, where it's always pushed that, you know, we're baby makers. Like, we have, like, wide hips because we can make babies and all mm-hmm. of these things. Mm-hmm. And I always encourage sisters, please know your body. Know your menstrual cycles. Just know your body before it's too late. Just know your body, know the patterns of your body. Like, so when something is off, if something isn't right, you'll know it.
Mm-hmm. Instead of waiting for a doctor to confirm it, you know, all the time.
Yeah. Sometimes it's cold.
Yeah. Sometimes they miss, you know?
Mm-hmm. So now I have, I didn't want to freeze my eggs because I was like, okay, I don't want them to go through the thawing process. So I have embryos now.
Mm.
Yeah, more boys than girls. So I don't know if that's like a...
It sounds like Allah's preparing you to get that son. You get me?
Mashallah, yeah. Mashallah. So now I'm in the... I'm happy. I don't know if I could have made it without my sister.
Yeah.
My sister, my cats.
Your sister, your cats, and your husband.
Yes. Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. My mother, too. Like
your mom as well.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, now we have embryos, and now we're, you know, we're getting ready to start the process all like, over again.
Yeah.
Make dua for me, guys.
No, may Allah grant you the son that you've always wanted.
Amen.
The daughter you always wanted.
Yes.
May Allah make them healthy. Amen. May Allah make them examples for this ummah. May Allah make them pillars of this deen, leaders of this deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to see them, and may they be the coolness of your eyes.
Why are you trying to make me cry?
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just making dua that I know TDS would want me to make dua for you. So it's, I know they're all listening and they're saying, Ameen, yeah. Ameen, Ameen. You know, here we do collective duas, and I know my listeners are saying Ameen after.
I promised I would not cry.
I know you promised, but let me tell you, it's our brand. There's no way running from it. Yeah. There's no way. I mean, I wish we were talking about more, you know, just maybe lighthearted things, but we talk about real life.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, you know, our guests are reflecting about their own. And so that's a journey and that's an experience. And there's realness there, real emotions. And so,
life is messy.
It is. And it's not always linear, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's a whole journey, man.
So, like, just to wrap it up right now, you're on your journey, right? That's what you're doing right now.
I'm on my IVF journey currently.
Yeah.
So I'm going through that process.
You're going to win it. I know it. You're going to be back here again telling us you had your baby.
And I'm going to make sure my baby cries in the microphone. But Jonathan?
We invite it here. We love crying people. You know, this is where you thrive.
Honestly, this is very therapeutic. I realized things about my past that I never paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Just the traumas that we go through and we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Atta is here like Oprah, reminding you, now how did you feel about that? Now cry.
No. Which I don't say, but.
No.
What I learned listening to you is this. This is what I've learned. I tell you what I've learned?
Yes.
I've learned that true love is possible for all of us.
Yes.
I learned that our mistakes don't define us.
They're portals of discovery.
Mm-hmm. I learned that if you get divorced the first time, it doesn't mean you can't find love the second time, which I also want to point out for those who might be experienced right now, mm-hmm. that Khadija radiallahu anha got her true love story in her third marriage.
Yeah, that's why I say it doesn't matter if it's a third, fourth, fifth,
I'm trying to tell.
Keep trying.
I'm just trying to tell y'all, you know, she had that love story that we all know about, and that was her third. So,
may Allah have mercy on her.
Ameen. And I learned that, you know, self-love is a journey.
Oh.
And that 100%. How we love ourselves and how well we love ourselves ultimately reflect in how we take in day-to-day struggles of living in this dunya.
Yes.
Because this dunya is just here to test us perpetually. And these trials are not a reflection if you deserved it or if this is like who you are. It's not true. And I'm so touched by your experience, even, you know, experiencing loss, you know, and many women do not speak about those things for a very long time. It still is very taboo. And women are encouraged to stay hidden with that pain.
Yeah.
And we don't have to do that. We don't have to. Matter of fact, we can share with each other.
Yes.
And we can collectively heal.
Create a circle, sisters.
Yeah, absolutely. Collectively heal. Be vulnerable. Be open. If this podcast has taught you anything thus far, is that women, like each other as an ummah, we are enough
for each other.
Yes.
We are enough. You don't have to walk alone. You don't have to feel down alone. You don't have to do anything alone. If you just need to be able to allow others to show up for you. Allow, you know, let people be there, you know, and if let's say that you're struggling to find people there, just know that like they're out there for you to find. Yes. And yeah, and I'm so excited for this journey for you. I'm extremely hopeful. I asked the TDS family to keep our beloved guest Lima in your du'as.
Please.
Keep her in your du'as, keep her husband in your du'as, keep her family in your du'as. Keep all of the sisters who are struggling alike in this way in their du'as. Keep them in your du'as. May Allah give everyone babies.
Yes, babies for everybody.
May Allah give everyone babies.
I do want to say that, you know, if you are a woman
mm-hmm.
who, you know, you don't see yourself having babies, that's completely fine.
That's fine. That's fine.
You know, it's mm-hmm. just like one thing. Like I there's a quote that says negative feelings are like nocturnal animals.
Mm.
They dwell in the darkest of places.
Mm.
So whenever you are having like a negative feeling or you know things like that, just remember that Allah is the best planner.
Mm.
And he has a plan for all of us.
Mm.
You know?
He's the best writer.
Yes.
He writes all of our love stories.
Yes.
He's the author of all of them. And they're all so beautiful. You yes. know? And so, you know, romanticize your life.
Mm-hmm. Love yourself. Love date you. Love you.
You. Yes.
And travel.
And travel. And get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bro.
Yes.
He
That's
is
the most important.
The best kind of companion. So you're probably wondering, Adar, what's the happy story here? Right? We heard this incredible love story, and then we heard these great people be tested this way, and they're not with a child yet. The point of the story is that what is real and what is for certain is that we're all going to be tested. Every single one of us. Whether that's with our wealth, with our families, with our children, with our spouses, right? We're all going to be tested. But Lima's story reminds me of the promise that Allah makes when he says, when two people get married, he gives them or he allows them to experience mawaddah and rahmah. Lima's relationship with her husband, her story is a mirror of that. That despite all of the things that they experienced, that they live in this tranquil bubble, where they can weather any storm that comes their way. And that is the beauty of this story, is that two people can love each other for Allah's sake and weather the storm together. It's not the story, it's not the hardship that's the main character here. It's the love that we continue to see emulate through this story. The mercy I continuously hear from Lima and when she talks about her husband and what she, alhamdulillah, is able to hold on to. And I think that's beautiful. I think we're all in pursuit of that, right? When Adam alayhi salam, like we mentioned, was in Jannah and he, you know, it wasn't enough. He needed Hawa. And that wasn't good, right? Now imagine when things are like dark and gloomy, right? We need a partner to weather that storm, whether that be obviously your romantic partners or your family or your best friend or your alien, as Lima says. Whoever that may be open to it, accept it, welcome it, and recognize it for what it is, a blessing from Allah.
So the question is, how did I know she was the one? It's easy. When I met her, and she fell on them stairs and she looked up at me at that 90 degree angle. I knew it from that moment. She needed my help for the rest of her life. And she knows that. Ask her. She knows.
So you guys, vibe check. You already know. Vibe check is officially gone into production. I cannot believe it. That TDS's first idea
his first project went into actual production. That's wild. That over 7 countries, 3 continents have purchased this game literally keeps me up at night. Literally keeps me up at night. That blows my mind. And I mean, so, like, as a team, all of us were super excited to get this product to you guys. And obviously, we'll keep you guys updated on Instagram and all of that, inshallah, to let you know how that's coming along. I just want to tell everyone, thank you. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feek for purchasing VibeCheck, for supporting day in and day out. I don't know what would we be without y'all. TDS is us, is all of us. And every day we prove to the world how valuable and important we all are. And I love you guys for it. This episode is brought to you by Beautiful Light Studios. I love to give a shout out to my bestie, okay, my alien, my sister in crime. We don't commit no crimes, but my sister in Islam, Munshiq Umar, I love you, sis. I also love to give a shout out to my good sis from all the way in Minneapolis, Sima. That digital art is killing it, sis. Jazakallah khair. You are the most talented person I know. And I, yeah, that's all I got. Oh, by the way, guys, if you're interested in supporting TDS, join our Patreon. We got a solid group of people that donate to us every month. And wallahi, we make dua for them. And may Allah accept their sadaqa jariyah for anybody that gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of your sadaqa. May Allah accept it to you, accept it for you, and may it be a heavy weight on your mizan. So if you're interested in joining a Patreon, don't be shy, girl. Or guy, join our Patreon. And yeah, I will see you guys next week in your ear, in your speaker, telling you a good story.